Everyone's calendar is based on two factors, the cycle of the sun and the cycle of the moon. The cycle of the sun is establishing a year, and the cycle of a moon is establishing a month. And that's universal throughout all cultures. There's only one problem. The problem is that the cycle of a moon is 29 and a half days approximately, and the cycle of a sun is 365 days approximately, and there is no way to fit 29 and a half evenly into 365. Because if you multiply 29 and a half by 12, you're going to end up with 354. In other words, if you take 12 months, you're going to have a year with 354 days long. And then if you add another month of 29 and a half days, then it's going to be obviously more than 365. It's going to be 383 and a half. So there is a discrepancy between these two things that various cultures decided to deal with in various ways. The Arab calendar decided to ignore the cycle of the sun. So they have 12 months of 29 and a half days, and their year is 354 days. Because their year is 11 days shorter than our year, their holidays are shifting throughout the seasons. You could have Ramadan in the winter, you could have then Ramadan in the fall, and then goes into summer, because it's shifting 11 days every single year. And this is also why if you meet an Arab who is telling you that he is 70 years old, don't believe him. He is really not 70 years old, he is 67 years old, according to our calculations. This is how the Arab culture is dealing with it. European culture, which is basing itself on Gregorian calendar, which is based on the Julian calendar, established by Julius Caesar, has a completely different approach. Arabs decided to ignore the sun, Europe decided to ignore the moon. And Gregorian calendar, each month is either 30 or 31 days, which means 30 and a half days on an average. February is 28 to 29 days only because we have twice 31 days months in a row. This was because of a feud of Roman emperors who were naming months after themselves. So we have one culture that is choosing to ignore the cycle of the sun, another culture which is choosing to ignore the cycle of the moon, and we Jews are stuck in the middle. Why are we stuck in the middle? Because we cannot afford to ignore either one of them. This is why we were forced to create a complex calendar with 19-year cycle. And because we cannot add an extra day like they do in the Gregorian calendar, because that would destroy the entire cycle of a moon, we are forced to add a whole month. How often can we add a whole month? We do it 7 times within 19 years. So we have a 19-year cycle, and this 19-year cycle is having 12 years with 12 months in a year and 7 years with 13 months in a year. So by us Jews, a leap year is a year with an extra month, not an extra day. All the months are 29 or 30 days, because the cycle of a moon is 29 and a half days. But you cannot start a month in the middle of a day. That's why we do 29, 30. Now, the question is, why are we doing it? And why did God create such a lopsided system? Why are we forced to twist ourselves backwards to create a calendar? Interestingly enough, the very first mitzvah that is in the Torah, which is given to the Jews as a nation, as they were leaving their slavery in Egypt, is a mitzvah of creating calendar. Why? I mean, it would probably make sense that mitzvah of Shabbos, kosher, should be the first one. We know that the Egyptian culture was a very decadent, was a very corrupt culture. Maybe they should have given us a prohibition of theft or a prohibition of murder. Why is it that the first mitzvah is mitzvah of a calendar? Doesn't seem to be one of the essential pillars of Judaism. Well, it is. And this is because of the Kabbalistic explanation what calendar is all about and why is it that we have a calendar like that. The Kabbalah is telling us that we Jews represent the moon and God is a metaphor for sun. We Jews are meant to be reflecting the light of the sun during the night when the light of the sun is not shining directly on us. which means that there are parts of this world which on their own are void of revealed godliness. And we are meant to be shining this godliness onto these parts of the world. This is why God is the sun and we are the moon. Now, we also know that sun is steady. Sun is coming out every morning and shining every single day. The sun is steady. A moon, some nights you see it, some nights you don't see it. Sometimes it's a full moon. Sometimes it's a half a moon. Sometimes it's just a tiny sliver. Moon is not steady. Why? Because while God's light into this world is steady, the way we reflect it onto this world is not steady. We sometimes do a better job, sometimes we do not such a good job, sometimes we do a really lousy job. So we are changing. When I lived in New York, we made our own group of yoga, Bikram Yoga, in Crown Heights, and we had a yoga teacher, and very often we were upset that we were not doing as good of a job as the time before. Sometimes some postures were working, sometimes it wasn't working, sometimes I was not performing as well during a specific day. So our trainer would always tell us, everything that is alive is always changing. If you are different today than you were yesterday, that means that you are alive. If you will be the same every single day, that's the first red flag. That's the first bad news, because it means you are dead. We Jews are reflecting God's light, and sometimes we do a better job, sometimes we do not such a good job. And that's why we see that the moon is sometimes shining better, sometimes shining less, and sometimes is disappearing altogether. So now we also understand that there is a cycle of the sun and there is a cycle of the moon, and it's very hard to make them match up. Why? Because we, who are the moon, are having a very hard time matching up to the light of the sun, matching up to the godliness that we are meant to project. It's difficult. We are not born with a natural ability to right away do everything what we have to do. It requires an effort. Now, once it's requiring an effort, how does it turn out? Sometimes we are underperforming. This is a regular year with 12 months, which is shorter than the solar year, which means that our 12 cycles, our year, ends up falling short of the solar year. And then it could happen again. But what happens then? Then we fix ourselves up. Then we become better. Then we improve ourselves. Then we do teshuvah. We return to how we are meant to be. And when we return to how we were meant to be, not only do we match up exactly to the cycle of the sun, not only do we make up what we've lost, we are actually overshooting. We are exceeding the expectations. This is the whole thing of teshuvah. Teshuvah, repentance, returning, according to the Torah, is allowing us to do better than what we would have been doing if we would have not transgressed in the first place. This is why the Torah is telling us that a returnee, a ba'al teshuvah, a person who has repented, is higher than a person who has never sinned in the first place. A person who is fixing himself up is overshooting. And this is why a leap year, which is representing Teshuvah, is overshooting. Now we have a balance. Now we have extra days. But what happens? Unfortunately, after we overshoot and we have extra days, you know what? Sometimes we fall short later as well. And we again fall behind. And then we need to work on ourselves to move ahead again. And that's why we have a leap year again. And that's the whole trajectory. That's the whole tendency of our Jewish calendar. We are supposed to do tshuva every single day and every single hour. Just in our calendar, it's represented by years. The Torah is telling us that a returnee, someone who has repented after committing sins, is even greater than a person who never sinned. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, who was the rabbi of the town of Berdichev in the very beginning of 19th century, once he was walking down a street in his town on Yom Kippur, and he sees that there is a Jew sitting on the front porch of his house on Yom Kippur and eating. And not only is he is eating something which is obviously not kosher. He's walking over to him and he says, "I envy you. I'm jealous." This Jew says, "Obviously you are jealous. It's Yom Kippur. You are fasting and I'm eating a nice meal over here. Obviously you are jealous. You want to eat also?" He says, "No, it's not why I'm jealous. I'm jealous because the Torah is telling us that a Jew who is sinning, after he repents, has a chance to convert all of his past transgressions into merits. If he repents afterwards, his past sins are not only erased, they are also converted into merits. And this is because whenever we repent, we overshoot. We do more than what we would be doing otherwise." So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak tells this Jew, "Hey, I envy you because I see that you have so much potential. I see that you're eating a non-kosher meal on Yom Kippur. You have so many things that you could turn into merits. That's why I'm jealous of you. You have so many transgressions which you could turn into mitzvahs." This Jew laughed at him and he said, "Rabbi, come back to me next Yom Kippur. You're going to be jealous even more." So I don't know about this Jew, but this story is illustrating this whole idea very, very vividly.